Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Psych Hope Self-Help Podcast, a space for women where psychology illuminates paths to healing hope and personal growth. I'm Dr. Jennifer McManus, a clinical psychologist, and I'll be your host. Each episode, we'll explore a different way to use psychology to enhance emotional wellness. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey, thanks for pressing play on episode 25. I have to say, I'm really excited about this episode. I'm taking a slightly different approach than what you've heard on most of the past episodes, where I was mainly exploring a specific type of psychology-informed self-help approach. For this episode, I want to get into a better understanding of two of the top challenges for which women engage in self-help practices. The challenges I want to focus on for today are stress and anxiety. I titled this episode, Is It Stress or Anxiety? Because people are often uncertain if what they're experiencing is indeed stress or anxiety. I hope by the end of this episode that anyone who has ever struggled to answer that question will feel validated, because there are a lot of intricacies that make it hard to tell the difference between stress and anxiety. So let's get into what makes knowing the difference between stress and anxiety so tricky. First, let's start with some basic definitions. We've all felt stressed out at one time or another, but what exactly is stress? When psychologists discuss stress, we're referring to a set of bodily responses to a real or perceived threat, demand, or challenge, along with the belief that these pressures are more than we can handle in terms of our coping resources. The things that stress us out are technically called stressors, and typically come from external sources like demands at work. Stressors could also be problems in an important relationship or health issues. Although stress is frequently thought of as negative, positive life events can also serve as stressors, like planning a big event or party or moving into a brand new home. All right, so what is anxiety then? Anxiety can be understood as an emotion that involves apprehension about something in the future and often involves the experience of tension in our bodies. We might also think of anxiety as having worries or feeling nervous. Anxiety is similar to the feeling of fear, but fear is typically understood to be in response to a bona fide and specific threat that we're currently facing, while anxiety involves perceived threats that are more general in nature. Anxiety can also be thought of as apprehension about things in the future that could cause us to feel fear down the line. We can also experience anxiety about things that are important to us, not just scary. For example, we might feel anxious before an important job interview or work presentation. Anxiety and worries are a normal part of life. About 40% of people have at least one worry per day. These sorts of everyday worries do not last very long and can help us solve our current problems and maybe even avoid future problems. Just interrupting here to tell you about a new resource I created for you. If you're experiencing high levels of work stress, this resource is for you. Please know, you're not alone. So many women are tired of work stress seeping into every area of their lives. Perhaps you can relate and want to do something about the negative impact work stress is having on you, but aren't sure how to get started. If this resonates with you, then I'd like to invite you to take a brief moment for yourself and try the Your Path Through Work Stress quiz. In 10 introspective questions, you'll learn more about your unique experience of work stress and which science-backed stress relief tools are most likely to help you reclaim your peace. Just head on over to psychhope.com/yourpath so you can take the first step down your best path through work stress. The quiz will also be linked in the show notes. Next, let's consider what goes on for us when we're experiencing stress and anxiety. With stress, we might notice we're having trouble sleeping. Our physical bodies can also really suffer when we're feeling stress, with problems like muscle tension or physical pain, especially in the neck and back. Sometimes people experience chest pain when under stress. This is definitely a symptom that we do not want to assume is only due to stress. Chest pain is a big deal and can have a lot of different causes. So please seek your own professional medical opinion if chest pain is something you experience with stress or anxiety for that matter. With stress, we might also get headaches ranging from a minor headache all the way up to a migraine. We might have changes in our appetites or get an upset stomach when we're stressed out. Stress can also be behind those rashes some people get or other skin breakouts. Stress can be related to increased blood pressure too. Heightened stress can make existing physical problems or conditions worse and can make us more susceptible to catching the cold or flu. When we do get sick, the recovery and healing process can be slowed by the impact of stress. In addition to the impact on our physical bodies, we might notice a difference with our emotions when we're under heightened stress. Increased moodiness and irritability are common when we're stressed out. This is a good point to highlight that there are two symptoms of stress that make it really challenging to tease apart stress and anxiety, and that is we might worry or feel more anxious when we're stressed out. Now let's turn our attention to what we might expect with the experience of anxiety. In terms of what goes on in our bodies, anxiety can be associated with increased heart rate, faster breathing, sweating, upset stomach, muscle tension, aches, and pains. When it comes to what we experience on an emotional level, the normal everyday worries can often be followed by a feeling of relief, peace, or calm because we were able to find helpful solutions to our problems through worrying that was actually productive. On the other hand, though, when we worry about many different things frequently without any clear solutions and have trouble letting go of these worries, we can feel even more anxious and then worry even more. It can really get a vicious cycle going. Anxiety can also involve feeling irritable. So now that we've covered what we experience both in our bodies and emotionally with stress and anxiety, I bet you're noticing some similarities. It might have stood out to you how both stress and anxiety involve things like muscle tension and an upset stomach. The reason why stress and anxiety can feel so similar and why there is so much overlap with what goes on in our bodies with stress and anxiety is the fact that both can activate our fight or flight response system. I think it can be really helpful to understand the why of what's going on in our bodies with stress and anxiety. So let me give you a little information here on the fight or flight response system. This response is hardwired into humans, and it's a survival instinct. The fight or flight response occurs automatically in our bodies. It's there to protect us from potential dangers. We can think of this as a threat defense system that evolved to protect us from dangers in our physical environment to our actual physical bodies. The symptoms we experience, such as increased heart rate, sweating, muscle tension, and shortness of breath, are happening for a reason. They're meant to help us respond instantly to a potential threat by either fighting it or fleeing from it. And a little side note here, I'll be using the terms flee and flight interchangeably. Let's break down exactly how these physical responses would help us to fight or flee from danger. When our brains, in this case, the oldest part of our brains, often called the reptilian brain, detect a threat, a signal is sent to the sympathetic nervous system, which then releases adrenaline and cortisol. The release of adrenaline is responsible for increasing our heart rate and blood pressure. The reason why we would have increased heart rate and increased blood pressure in response to a threat is to help get oxygen more quickly to the parts of our bodies that need it. That quicker breathing rate associated with the fight or flight response is also about getting oxygen to where it needs to go faster. Cortisol releases glucose or sugar stored in our bodily reserves to fuel the battle with the threat or to escape from it. What about that shared stress and anxiety symptom of sweating? How does it help us fight or flee from a danger in the environment? Well, there are two good reasons. First, sweat on our skin makes us slippery and better able to escape the grips of a danger out there in the wild. And remember, it was out in the wild that this threat response system evolved. So the threats would indeed be for things like lions. And the second good reason for the sweating is it keeps us from overheating while fighting or fleeing from that danger. Turning now to muscle tension, it's a common experience with both stress and anxiety because our different muscle groups are tensing up to help us, again, fight or flee from that danger in our environment. One more shared symptom of stress and anxiety that I want to put in context of the fight or flight response system is that upset stomach. The idea here is that when we're in danger and have to fight or flee, then our digestive system functions drop to the bottom of the list of priorities so that energy can be focused on bodily functions more essential to our survival. These might be things like increased alertness and more sensitive senses, like what we see or hear in order to detect any threats to our safety. The decreased functioning of our digestive systems can result in things like nausea or constipation. Now, you might be thinking that these automatic bodily responses are all well and good for our survival, but wondering why we experience these responses when most of us are not crossing paths with life-threatening animals on a regular basis. This is because our hardwired threat defense system operates from a better safe than sorry sort of stance, which means it may click on in the face of something anxiety-provoking, but not one that poses an actual threat of physical harm. As humans, our amazing brains have the ability to think about the future and imagine things that may or may not happen. The hardwired system responsible for the fight or flight response does not know the difference, though. There was actually a clever meme floating around on the internet a while ago that said something along these lines. How do I teach my body that my fight or flight response is supposed to be for life or death situations, not responding to an email? Perhaps you can relate. So these unpleasant and uncomfortable symptoms of stress and anxiety are actually happening to help protect us from potential danger. I think it's helpful to know not only did we evolve to have a threat response system, we also evolved to have what's called a rest and digest system, frequently called the relaxation response. When we're able to let our guard down from the threat, real or perceived, we start breathing at a slower rate, our heart rate decreases, our muscles loosen up a bit, and our digestive system gets back to normal functioning. Now that we have a solid foundation as to why it's hard to tell the difference between stress and anxiety and the role of the fight or flight response in the symptoms that are experienced, I want to compare the normal, everyday sort of experience of stress and anxiety to experiences that go beyond that. The occasional experience of stress, such as that important job interview or a rare fight with a loved one, is called acute stress. While this type of stress can be intense, we're typically only in fight or flight mode for brief periods of time. We can contrast acute stress with chronic stress, which occurs as the result of long-standing stressors, such as a demanding job with unreasonable expectations, or a conflictual relationship where there is seldom a day without an argument. Someone experiencing chronic stress starts becoming accustomed to the discomfort of constantly being in fight or flight mode. It's like it becomes their new normal. For example, having muscle tension or frequent headaches are something they just accept as part of their demanding job. Chronic stress can be related to more reliance on substances such as alcohol to feel relaxed. Stress can also develop into a mental illness like an anxiety disorder or major depression. Chronic stress is also related to serious health consequences like heart disease. When it comes to anxiety, remember, it's normal and even healthy to have some level of anxiety or worry. When we worry about something, it can possibly help us solve a current problem or anticipate and prevent future problems. Given some level of anxiety is healthy, how can we tell when to seek professional help? Here are some things to look out for. Excessive worry about many different areas of life, difficulty controlling or stopping these worried thoughts, constant feelings of restlessness, trouble concentrating, and a steady feeling of exhaustion. We also want to pay attention to any issues with sleeping, like difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep because of worries. And if we notice anxiety is related to significant problems with our job performance or with relationships that matter to us, those are additional signs that our anxiety has gotten to a level where it would be wise to seek a professional opinion. We all experience some level of stress or anxiety at some point or another. That's totally normal. If you think you might be experiencing a more severe level of stress or anxiety, though, getting a professional medical opinion, either from your PCP, current mental health clinician, or other professional, can be really helpful. Now, some good news here. There are many self-help options for coping with stress and anxiety, both short-term and more long-term experiences. And as is often the case with this podcast, we're not starting from scratch here. I'm going to start winding down today's exploration by sharing some previous episodes that contain helpful information about coping with stress and anxiety. If you go back to episode 19, you'll find the deep dive into the psychological benefits of physical exercise. And two of those benefits are that physical exercise can help to reduce stress and anxiety. Episode 20 was especially relevant to coping with stress and anxiety when I explored the psychological benefits of mindfulness for stress and anxiety. That episode also included a guided mindfulness meditation for stress and anxiety. Episodes 21 and 22 were on the topic of compassion and highlight ways to show ourselves love and kindness when we're suffering. And what are some of the most common ways we can find ourselves suffering? Heightened stress and anxiety. Episode 23 on thought work as a self-help approach also contains useful information that can be applied to reframing unhelpful thoughts that may be associated with stress or anxiety. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. I hope you found some value from today's exploration, especially when it comes to understanding why it's so hard to tell the difference between stress and anxiety. Please be sure to follow the show wherever you may be listening so you can be notified when the next episode goes live. And if you like what you're hearing on the PsychHope Self-Help Podcast, it would be so kind of you to leave a 5-star rating and review. Till next time. The information shared on the PsychHope Self-Help Podcast is done so with the understanding that it does not constitute professional help, nor is it a substitute for professional help. If you think you might benefit from more than self-help, there are resources listed in the show notes.